Where are we ranking some of these rookie wide receivers pre-landing spot? I'm here to discuss the rookie wide receivers only for the next couple, I don't know, minutes, hour, whatever, and discuss how excited I am about Ladd McConkey and his landing spot, how excited I am about Xavier Leggett, his landing spot. Will Malachi Corley go in round one? Probably not. I mean, it's tough to say. I think Ladd McConkey goes in round one. I think Leggett goes in round one. Brian Thomas Jr. obviously goes in round one. How far will he fall, though? I see projections of him falling to 20. I've seen him fall all the way to 22, 23 in a trade-up by the Bills. I've seen all kinds of stuff. But we're here to do some last-minute pre-NFL draft Thursday night, round one. Wide receiver cram session type stuff. So file on in, hit the like button on the way in the door.
Live from the fantasyfootballshow.com studios, it's the Dynasty Fantasy Football Show.
Yo, welcome to the Dynasty Show. Phone lines will be open pretty much right from the jump if anybody wants to dial in. I know it's late for some of you, but I'm here to answer the call. And I'm mainly here to just kick around. It's kind of like just a little chat, not really any bullet points to speak of, really. Other than to say, I really do feel like we're going to see some amazing landing spots, and we might get one or two first round nightmare type landing spots. Example, let's look at the NFL draft board as we speak to this. I mean, I suppose New York is going to be the most concerning wide receiver landing spot. There's a lot of people that think they're going quarterback. There's a lot of people that think that Penix Jr. could end up going six, but there's a lot of smoke as well. There's a lot of people that say that, look, they're paying Danny Dimes a ton of money. Might not even be ready for the first couple weeks of the season because of the ACL tear. He's not ready to go. But does this team say, look, we don't really know what quarterback we like when the two, three big dogs are off the board. And so therefore, let's get our wide receiver comeback, regroup, and grab our QB in the offseason or in the 2025 NFL draft. And the Giants, if they don't bring in anybody else, they're going to have a high pick. Like, they could be the number one pick in the draft next year. They could be one of the worst teams. I think the Carolina Panthers, the New York Giants, these are two teams that absolutely could be bottom of the barrel. New England Patriots, depending on who they draft. That's probably where I'm headed with this. So my nightmare landing spot, because it's so close to the top three wide receiver landing spots, is probably the most, I guess, risky spot for one of the top three wide receivers. No quarterback. Danny Dimes is absolute garbage. And he vultures a lot of plays near the end zone anyway. He's not even going to be ready for week one. I hate this landing spot. I absolutely hate this landing spot. If Neighbors lands in New York, Odunze's the number two wide receiver. And it's been bold for months, but I think everyone's getting on board that when we exit the NFL draft, if it goes that route. Now, if Odunze goes to New York, I'm going to be upset, clearly, because I don't like New York. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to rank him. We're going to have to cross that bridge when it comes and visit that topic once it's in front of us. But I do hope that the theory that Neighbors goes ahead of Odunze holds true if New York's in the market for a wide receiver, unless it goes MHJ. Neighbors, and then I'm like, don't take Odunze. So it'll be interesting. I think the Giants probably take Neighbors more than they take Odunze, and if Neighbors is gone to the Chargers, which I don't think they're going to take a wide receiver. I think they're trading down, or they're taking a lineman. They could take Bowers, but I think they're taking an offensive lineman, or they're trading down and then taking an offensive lineman. Minnesota's the most likely team with the 23 and the 11 to trade up into 5, or to trade up into 3, or to trade up into 4. It's going to be interesting. Lots of speculation right now. Lots of speculation. What I want to talk about, though, is if Buffalo ends up trading up to get Adunze or Brian Thomas Jr., I suppose. I don't think Neighbors, Marvin Harrison, probably in the cards. I don't think they're getting up this high. But Adunze could fall a little bit. Brian Thomas Jr. could really fall from anywhere between 11 and like 20. I don't think he does, but he very much could. Wouldn't even be that crazy when you think about it. How many players fall each NFL draft that we don't expect to fall? Wouldn't even be that out of pocket to suggest Buffalo somehow gets him at it at 28. Probably not going to happen, but we've seen players fall before. And the reason I say that is, like, look, you're going to have Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Adunze gone, okay? And we don't know if Worthy is going to be valued higher than BT for a lot of teams. We don't know if McConkey could climb boards. He's a fantastic wide receiver. And Keon Coleman, people love. A.D. Mitchell. There is a world where A.D. Mitchell and Worthy both go above BT. And do I like A.D. Mitchell in Buffalo? Sure. Do I like A.D. Mitchell in Jacksonville? Not really. Because he's a guy I'm a little on the fence for. And if he goes into an amazing landing spot, then I really, really like A.D. Mitchell in Buffalo. I really like A.D. Mitchell in Indy, I suppose. I don't love him. I don't love him, but I think he's got some upside that I think, he, you know, you can overlook some of the negatives and say his situation is going to help mold him and shape him. He goes to Jacksonville. We saw the way they misused Ridley. I don't know if A.D. Mitchell, he feels like he comes with a little bit of off-the-field baggage or a little bit of diva mentality. Maybe he doesn't survive that situation well because they're not going to feed him the way he wants to be fed. Leggett in Buffalo would be unbelievable. Leggett in Indy, they were to move down or move up, and a second-round pick would be amazing. Ladd McConkey in Indy, if they were to move down or move up, a second rounder would be amazing. Maybe Ladd doesn't go in round one in a team. We're talking, you know, day two. Where's Ladd go? I think he goes in round one. I think he goes in this 25 to 32 range. Ladd McConkey in KC's dangerous. Ladd McConkey in Buffalo, dangerous. Ladd McConkey in Indy, dangerous. Ladd McConkey in Baltimore, I don't like it as much because Flowers is, I just don't know if I want that. Goat asked me, Neighbors or MHJ? It's MHJ, then Adunze, then Neighbors, Goat. That's my order. Now, if Neighbors is in a better spot than Adunze, then Neighbors will probably get the nod. They're all so super close, bro. But Adunze is closer to Marvin Harrison Jr. for me than Neighbors is closer to Adunze for me, which doesn't really say much because they're all really, really close. But I'm just trying to give you a sense of, like, Neighbors isn't a question of Neighbors or MHJ. Very presumptuous, Goat, of you. Very, very disrespectful to our boy, Rome Adunze, who is a moon man.
The moon man, dropping loads in outer space.
Adunze, look at him. Look at him. Let's put McConkey. I hate to put all the
space monsters.
God, I don't want to put all the rookie wide receivers on here. I want Ladd McConkey on there, though. God, I think he's going to land in an amazing spot. Ladd McConkey is so intriguing. So is Malachi Corley. So is Leggett. I almost want to move Ladd McConkey. Let's see. I think when I did my wide receiver rankings, I don't even know if I have those anymore. It was Ladd McConkey, Leggett, and Malachi Corley all in a tight bunch right behind BT at 4. So Brian Thomas Jr. 4, Neighbors 3, Adunze 2, MHJ 1. And at 5, it was like a Leggett, McConkey, and Malachi Corley, like, tie. But I'm feeling really, really good about Ladd McConkey's likelihood to fall into an amazing situation. A lot of news that dropped today. some that could impact some of the stuff we're talking about too, like St. Brown signing a $120 million deal, $77 million guaranteed. That makes Iuka a very likely. I've been watching the news like a hawk. Would not surprise me if something came down like midnight my time, which is about 50 minutes from now, and we see like some sort of floated Iuk trade request, or Iuk is tempting to request a trade or something along those lines. So hang tight as we approach the next hour or two. I'm really surprised that we haven't seen an Iuk trade request. I really am. And wouldn't be surprised if JJ ended up getting kicked around as a potential trade piece on the clock for these teams, because this St. Brown news affects JJ. JJ has been turning down offers, dare I say, that are lower or right at this contract value. And I think Minnesota's been on the fence about this price tag right here that St. Brown signed. Imagine how they're feeling about having to pay way more than what they were not wanting to send earlier and put in the inbox of JJ's agents. I don't know what's going to happen. JJ to the Bengals? Could that be a on-the-clock, midway through or at the beginning of round one type of trade? Could the Bengals... I don't think they'd want T. Higgins, right? T. Higgins wants a big, fat contract. And so you're not trading for T. Higgins unless he's signed on a long-term deal. And why not just bring JJ in if you're going to spend the kind of money that Higgins is even wanting? He's going to want at least Ridley to Devontae Smith money. And that's just... I don't know. Maybe, you know what? It wouldn't shock me. Nothing would shock me. It wouldn't shock me to watch... You know what I mean? Like, we come in here and we're like, why in the hell would Minnesota not sign JJ for $31 million a year, but give Higgins 27 or something like that? It wouldn't shock me. It would be stupid, but it wouldn't shock me if they did some sort of, you know, 18 Higgins second rounder for JJ. The Bengals get JJ. They give him the contract, and then they've obviously picked up the fifth year on Chase. They pay Chase next year on a reconstructed contract of sorts to make room. Wouldn't surprise me. Where would Joe Burrow go if that happened? These are all smoke and, you know, smoke type ideas. Josh Allen would be going in the first half if he got Aiyuk. The crazy part about that comment is you're probably right that he would definitely climb ADP, but probably should climb ADP even with Ladd McConkey. Because is Aiyuk better than Ladd McConkey? I mean, you could say, yeah, he's more developed and ready. But, bro, I mean, you give Ladd McConkey to Buffalo. I don't know that a year from now you'll be saying Aiyuk's way above Ladd McConkey. You give Leggett to Buffalo, one calendar year from now, I don't think you'll be saying Leggett's that far off, if any, from Aiyuk. I like Aiyuk, but Aiyuk is a tiny bit more system built than Debo is. Debo is irreplaceable. Debo is so much more valuable to the Niners than Aiyuk is. Aiyuk is replaceable to a degree. So, we'll see. Mark, Josh Allen. All right, I got that. I already read that. Yeah, Debo's just better than Aiyuk for the Niners. The Niners could put in a number of these rookie wide receivers and easily replace a majority of Aiyuk's workload versus you take Debo out of this situation. That guy's a yak machine. Probably the best yak yardage wide receiver in the last 10 years. This guy is... Malachi Corley's a little bit of his clone coming out of college, which is why I love Malachi Corley. And it'll be interesting to see where he falls. could go end of round one, most likely going around two. Love Malachi Corley. Leggett is going to be unbelievable. All right, phone lines are open. Dial in. Mark, appreciate you. Dial in, Mark. Caps, what's going on? What's up, Tebow? What's up, Chris? Peanut butter and jelly in the building. Terry Roberts, Ron Navy, appreciate you all being here. Blackbeard in the building. What's up, my guy? Blackbeard to the moon. Superfish, what's up? Appreciate you. I don't know if I had to rank my wide receivers right now. We could do a little ranking. Do a tiny itty bitty ranking sesh. Let's change this color here. Okay. So, as much as I love Adunze, we're going to go MHJ as the one. It's not, look, it's like almost splitting hairs to a point. My wide receiver two is going to be Adunze. My wide receiver three is going to be. Let's see here, hold on. It's going to be Neighbors. And these two and three are very dependent on landing spot. My number four, if I had to say right now, Thomas Jr., but God, I want to put Leggett here so bad. It just depends. I want to put McConkie here. So I'm going to put Leggett next, and then McConkie, and then Corley. Leggett. Okay, so let me make room here. I got to move this stuff over. Let me put the phone line number over here. Put that in the bottom corner. Dial in. I already got... Ron, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Smitty?
What is up? Just getting ready for this draft, man. I got MHJ, Adunze, Neighbors, Thomas Jr., Leggett. And I'm spitballing this. I might be like forgetting one of my guys. I'm going to put McConkie here. And then I'm going to put Corley. But these landing spots are clearly going to change everything.
Because you get pushed around. Yep.
I mean, McConkie in the best. Like, McConkie. I got to put McConkie right here. McConkie in Buffalo maybe makes him like number four over everybody else but the top three. I don't know that I could put McConkie over, like, Adunze or Neighbors if they were in New York. I think I still, in a dynasty mindset, I'm still drafting Adunze, Neighbors. Quarterback situations will change and all that. But, like, in a redraft setting, even though this is not the redraft channel, we're not really dipping into too much redraft, I could see myself, like, in best ball going, I'm drafting Adunze in a lot of drafts, but, like, part of me would say, could McConkie outscore him, like, in Buffalo? What?
Yeah, Corley up there twice, but you already took care of it.
Yeah. Now, this next spot's tough because it's like you got... I got Parasol, like, there. I know everyone wants A.D. Mitchell. Parasol. And then Keon Coleman. Who am I missing? So Mitchell, Parasol, Coleman are kind of all, like, right there. Who am I missing here? I feel like I'm spitballing this, so I know I'm missing somebody. Let me go to my rookie rankings on thefantasyfootballshow.com. Brian Thomas, McConkie,
Keon. Is there one?
Worthy. Worthy is the one I'm missing. Worthy.
There's another one too.
I think I just put, go to thefantasyfootballshow.com, guys, for your year-round rankings. I think I'm just going to put Worthy in this group. I don't think he's, like, ahead of Corley or anything. It's just, he's kind of in this group. So I didn't really miss him. I just couldn't remember who to add. Worthy. Franklin, eh. I like Franklin, but it depends. I think this is it. I think this is it. And very, very, you know, dependent on landing spot. Like, clearly. You know, like, Odunze goes to three if Neighbors is in Indy and Odunze's in New York with the Giants.
You know who you don't have up?
Who?
You don't have Franklin.
Yeah, that's what a guy said earlier. And I like him, but I don't think I'm missing him. He's just not in this group yet. He's one down. He's one down.
He's going to be a surprise. He's going to be a surprise sleeper.
Yeah, I like him, but I just think I like all these guys better.
Really? You're going to make me do this, huh? Okay. You are going to make me do this.
McConkie, Corley, wow. Leggett, Thomas Jr. The one that excites me, like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do a landing spot prediction here because, like, I'm going to get them all. Like, one specific move, like, the Chargers trade out and it just messes the whole order up. Polk is okay. I like Polk's okay. If you missed a notification, you can go to my Instagram and then you'll see, like, my bio. And right below my bio are these little circles of different... they're called a collection of, what are they called? Let me see what they are. They're called highlights. They're called highlights and they're little circles. One of those highlights, the circles is, if you click it, it says channels. And if you join the going live channel, I literally post, I'm going live and put the link in that little Instagram chat. It's a one-way conversation. People can heart emoji stuff, but people can't talk to me, so you're not going to get bombarded. I just say I'm going live and I put the link. So go subscribe to that. You'll never miss a live stream. Ron Navy with a $50 wad on screen. Ron. Ron says Franklin ends up top five rookie wide receiver. Put it on the board. Now, Ron, I'm not saying that's not bold. It's certainly bold. Yeah, that's bold enough. I think that's bold enough. I mean, if he missed my entire lot of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, that is pretty bold. I wonder if others will, because there's a lot of Franklin believers in here. I just want you to win the vote. That's good. You want to add anything to it, like 1,000 yards, anything like that, to make it pop just a smidge, or am I meddling here? I might be meddling.
We'll go.
I don't want to make you miss this.
If he gets top five, I'll say 800 yards, but 8 touchdowns to go along with it.
Let's just say 8 touchdowns then. We'll say 8 touchdowns, and you can still win this. If he had 6, it's not going to hold you back. 8 touchdowns. You what?
So there you go.
You what?
The bold prediction. I ain't worried. If I get it, I get it. If
yeah,
I don't,
okay,
I don't.
Okay. So Ron Navy with a $50 holler bold prediction. Let me put it up on the board.
Alert. Super chat alert. Alert. Super chat alert.
Troy Franklin, 8 TDs. Top 5 rookie wide receiver. There we go. It's a good one. I like it.
Here we go.
Definitely don't hate it. I don't like disagree with it. It's just, you know, it's all about preference here. Like, I don't want to, I could put him in here. If you guys want me to put him in here, like squeeze him into this bottom group, I'll do it. I have no problem with that. Like, I don't want people to think I hate him. I didn't want to move anybody out and I couldn't fit him. It's more about fitting him into the screen. It's more about being lazy. Let me move these, boxes down and I can make room for him. He's just going to be in that bottom group for me. That's me just being honest with where I have him, but it doesn't mean he's not capable of being in this bottom group. But I don't think he's going to be as good as McConkie. I don't think he's going to be as good as Leggett. But Hey, man, landing spot's everything. If let's say he lands in Buffalo, then I of course I'm going to like him. You know, so like landing spot's... Landing spot's going to determine everything. Let me put Corley. I mean, Corley could go to a garbage situation, and then all of a sudden I'm liking, you know, all these other guys more. But I'm hoping he doesn't. So Franklin. You got Washington as well. Like, Washington's pretty good. But the guy I like in this bottom, you what?
Washington, I was as strong a feeling that I got a better feeling for Franklin.
John says, are you worried about Xavier Worthy's drops? I'm not, because I'm not ranking him any higher than down here, you know? It's not like I'm projecting Worthy to be like 3 or 4 or 5. But there's some... Worthy's good, but the thing is, like, his film's pretty good. Like, when you look at a speedy guy at the combine that kind of makes a name for himself at the combine, it's always a recipe for disaster because people just fall in love with the speed and it never works out. John Ross, example one. They got 100 examples. Ruggs, et cetera, et cetera. But I think Worthy's the one guy where you see so much more in the film to support, you know, all the feelings that people have right now. But you have to ask the question, why didn't nobody love him, like, off of the film? And they should have. His film's good. But why did nobody love him going in? Is it because of his size? I don't know. I mean, Tank Dell proved that doesn't necessarily mean much, but I think Worthy's just a little bit of an enigma. And when I look at Worthy here, I don't think I'm undervaluing him. I think I'm waiting for his landing spot. Here, I'm not undervaluing A.D. Mitchell. I'm waiting for his landing spot. Same thing with Parasol. I love Parasol. If Parasol goes to the Chiefs at 32, love him. I mean, I love him anyway. Parasol is one of my favorite wide receivers in this draft class. And even he lingers in this bottom group of guys with Franklin, Coleman, Parasol, Worthy, Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell, some concerns, red flags, but if he lands in Buffalo, he vaults up. Any one of this bottom group, Mitchell, Parasol, Coleman, Worthy, even Franklin, if they went to Buffalo to be the number one wide receiver, I clearly would move them maybe to number 4. Landing spots that crazy. What did Tebow time said what? Come on, Smitty, I'm sure you can come up with a good $50 bold prediction song, maybe in a Barry White voice. I'll look into it. Thank you, Tebow. Appreciate you. I'll look into it. Tell you what, Tebow, next time you drop a $50 holler, I'll make sure I create it the very next show. How about that?
So you guys,
what, Ron?
Oh, well, you know, I told you, my buddy that we've been friends ever since our first ship, lives in California. He was supposed to fly out yesterday. He missed his flight, but he got here tonight, so he's here with me.
Okay, good.
The Bears fan. He's from Chicago.
Is he big on Caleb, or is he not? I forget.
No.
Yeah.
He don't think.
Poor guy.
But he did meet, who was the McCaskey? Yeah, he met Virginia McCaskey. And, so.
We can put Polk on here, guys. It's fine. I'll put Polk on it. Polk's good. I mean, even Washington should be in here. This is a good group. This receiving class is so good. I mean, it really is that good. Somebody in this group will be good. Like, really good. I believe it'll be Parasol if all goes well, but... What?
Do you think it'll end up better than the London Pickens, that group there? Because that was a big group. That was the last big group of wide receivers.
I think this will be the best wide receiver group we will ever see for quite a long time. Quite a long time. Because the top three are so good, any one of them would be the number one wide receiver in almost any draft class, you know, for the next handful of years. Only if I can be the singer, then Smitty, you're on. Sure. I mean, dial in and I want you to sing $50 holla. Like, give me some jargled, absolute gem and I'll put it up. I'll put it up. You $50 holler drop, call in when you're ready. We'll record that bad boy. And anytime a $50 holler drops, we have this one.
Alert. Super chat alert.
And then.
Alert. Super chat alert.
It did go along with, and actually, you know, we can swap it out. Let me swap it out now until we get yours.
Alert. Super chat alert.
$50. Give me $50, holla. Let them buy the river, Smitty. Give me $50.
There. That's a lot of ads popping up. Right.
Yeah, so we do have a $50 holler song right there, but I will let you redo it for the $50 bold prediction. All right,
hey, Ron. Randy, I got a question. Non football.
Yep.
Ron, my buddy's name is Ron also, and
okay.
He's from Chicago. He wants where your Al Illuminati's is down there that you go to.
Where is it?
Yeah, where is it located? Is it by where the Cubs have their spring training?
No, but not like crazy far from that. I think there's three locations. I only remember where two are. One's in Scottsdale, one's in downtown Phoenix, or near, it's like south or north of downtown Phoenix, like a mile away from downtown Phoenix, but not okay. In downtown. Yeah, it's good. I can't imagine. I think I've had Lou's in Chicago before. There's definitely something in the water, you know, a little bit of difference in the makeup of the ingredients. But for the most part, Lou Malinati's taste nearly identical in Arizona that does in Chicago. And a lot of people think Arizona doesn't have good pizza, but Dave Portnoy came out and did a bunch of, you know, during the NCAA tournament. He came out and did a bunch of different spots, like five or six, and he graded a couple eights and sevens. And Arizona's got great pizza. You just got to find the right spot. And a couple of the places I go to, even another place, one of my main places I go to for breakfast, he went and gave that score an amazing score. And then he went to one of these pizza places that's in Peoria, like really far from me, like 20 miles from me. I go to it once in a while. He went there. He was all over the place. But Lou Malinati's is amazing. And he's reviewed them before on their, because they'll ship anywhere. You could order Lou Malinati's if you're in Texas, if you're in California, if you're in Oregon, and they ship it to you, probably in like frozen, like pack or something. And their frozen pizza is nearly as good, I would say almost exactly as good as the freshly made one. You just put in your own oven and bake it. It's still the same thing.
Ron said they ship them on dry ice.
There you go. Yeah.
And he said when he's down in your area, he'll check out your Al Illuminati's there.
You keep saying Illuminati's, like the Illuminati.
The Illuminati. Whatever.
Illuminati's pizza. It's Lou Malnati. Malnati's. Lou Malnati. Yeah, his name's Lou Malnati. Space Malnati.
I'm not from. I've never had
Illuminati.
It, so, you know.
It's Illuminati pizza. Well,
about my pronunciation of it, but oh well.
It's really bad for you. The Illuminati pizza is not what you want. they have the Scientology, Church of Scientology pizza is not the same thing. Could a Dunze change feelings about Caleb if both land in Chicago? Could Adunze change my feelings about Caleb? That's my fear. It won't change my feelings about Caleb, but that's my fear as Adunze goes to Chicago. There's a couple things I want in the NFL draft. One, first and foremost, and this is before the Cardinals, I want the Buffalo Bills to get Roma Adunze, and then I want the Cardinals to get MHJ. If I could get both of them, I'd be happy. If I had to pick one, I'd want Buffalo to get Adunze. And they'd have to trade up, obviously. And then the third thing I want is for, you know, obviously if Buffalo gets Adunze, then I'm fine. But I want, if I don't get the Adunze part, I don't want Adunze in Chicago. Now, what would Caleb do? He'd do better. Like, understand something. They got rid of Fields, and everybody's coined Fields as a bust, but he was still a top 10 quarterback in top 5. He was a top 5 quarterback. He was number 10 in top 5 quarterback plays last year. Like, he was a top 5 quarterback more times than most of the quarterbacks in fantasy. He ranked number 10 in those top 5 quarterback, you know, season or outings. So he actually, let me see if I have that here. I'm gonna put it up on screen. This is Bryce Young. He was awful. Such a bad year. Let me see if I can. I think this. Yeah. So Fields was number 19 overall for quarterback scoring. But he had, I think he ranked 7th in top 5 QB production. Yeah. He was 7th in the league in getting inside the top 5. I think he was number 10 in getting inside the top 10, I believe. I think that was the stat. I could add it backwards, but that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable when you think about it.
If you were the Steelers, would you pick up his 5th-year option, or you would, because they don't know really what they would you pick
yeah,
up his
I
fifth
mean,
year option?
I don't think you do when he's slotted as the backup and is 25 mil. So I don't think it's, I don't think they're like, they could franchise tag him and then just re-sign him to a new deal. If he's the real deal, they'll be glad to pay him. You know what I mean? Like, either way, if he's the real deal, like, think about it. If he's the real deal, you're not going to want him to just have the 5th-year option picked up. You're going to want him on a new contract. So I think it's a smart move.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they don't believe in him. I know a lot of people were saying that today in the news, like, oh, it means they don't like him. No, it's just they can franchise tag him, right? And if they franchise tag him, it's the same thing as picking up the 5th-year option in a way. And then on top of that, if he's the real deal and they want to keep him, they just sign him to a big contract. They franchise tag him and then sign him to a long-term deal. But Justin Fields, real quickly, my point I was trying to get at is that if Odunze goes to Chicago, look how Fields was written off, still finished, like, in some categories, pretty promising. I mean, this is an awful start, which was not his fault. The play calling was ridiculous. Then he was QB3, QB1, QB29, didn't play. QB8, 24, bye week. QB3, QB26, QB4, QB3. And I don't really count week 18. That's unbelievable when you think about how many times this guy was in the top 5. He was in the top 5 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And of his good games, only one of them was not top 5, but it was still number 8. It's still top 10. And so my point being that if Odunze goes to Chicago, you can still perform, like, fantasy-wise in a solid fashion and lose games and lose your job and be coined a bust and be coined a guy who can't read defenses, and you can still produce fantasy numbers. So Odunze could survive. But I don't want them there where they're likely going to fail to develop a quarterback, and then Odunze's got to get to know another quarterback. This is going to be one of those, like, McLaurin searching for his quarterback for 150 years, you know, or DJ Moore searching for his quarterback as long as he has, and he's still searching for his quarterback for over 150 years. Like, at some point, it hurts and holds back the receiver. So regardless of if Caleb could feed him and Caleb could actually maybe crank out these kind of numbers, maybe at times it won't be this good, but he'll potentially still finish as QB 15, 16, 17, 18. And that's not good to me. That's a bust given the expectation, right? He's number 1 overall. I don't think he busts out of the league. You know, Ron has a bold prediction up there, which is funny. It's a really good one, though, because it's going to be very entertaining if it lands. Not because I wish injury upon Caleb or anything, but Ron put up on the board $50 he put up there that Bajent would start more games than Fields. And I don't necessarily feel that that's going to happen through a benching of some kind. I think Caleb will last in the league for years and years and years. That's not my definition of a bust. My definition of a bust is he's going number one overall, and he will not be an elite, like, amazing quarterback, elite leader, Stroud, you know, levels coming off of year one, but he still could feed Adunze, so that's my point. I won't, like, write Adunze off, but I certainly don't want it. I just don't. I got Mr. G on the phone. I forgot. Mr. G, you're live. I'm sorry, bro.
Hey, what's going on, Smitty?
Not much.
Draft Eve.
Yeah, bro. I mean,
hey, so I caught your earlier show, but I'm just now popping into the Now show, and I was just curious to know if you've talked any much about Amon-Ra. I just had a thought.
Sure have.
By Detroit signing Amon-Ra to the contract that they did today, do you think that's a diabolical scheme to get JJ out of the division? Because it puts a lot of pressure on Minnesota within the next 12 hours to decide whether or not they want to sign him or trade him.
I think that's a wild conspiracy that they're not that worried about Minnesota, bro. They got no quarterback right now. If anything, wouldn't you want JJ neutralized in Minnesota? Wouldn't that be the better strategy? Hey, let's keep this team that's,
or
like,
get them out of your division and not.
Yeah,
have
but
to
I don't think here. I don't think you're worried about like. Look, I think Penix Jr. to JJ could be really good, but I don't think other people believe that to the tune I do. So I think no one's thinking about, oh my God, I'm so scared of Minnesota. Like, they're a headless horseman right now. So I think that's a wild conspiracy. I don't concur. It's fun. It's a fun, you know, conspiracy.
Sure, could be.
I
watched draft day tonight, and I had a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, you did. You did.
You know, that's a deep thought.
It's. I mean, I'm sure it's late. That sounded like a good idea to bring up, but I don't think it's something that you'll feel strong about in the morning.
No, possibly.
You know, this is a Jerry Maguire memo moment for you.
Jerry Maguire, there you go.
Yeah, this memo seems great. I'm going to write a memo on it. I'm going to tell Smitty. I think that at the end of the day, Detroit's doing what Detroit needs to do to win Super Bowls. Like, that's what their goal is. I don't think they care about trying to, like, play some kind of, you know, 8D chess.
But, you know, you could see it, though. You could see it, though, because it puts pressure on Minnesota within the next 12 hours to decide to pay JJ or take the haul and trade him away.
I know, but think about it from this perspective, bro. But think about it from this perspective. At the end of the day, do you want JJ in Cincinnati so that you got to then go up against Joe Burrow and the LSU monster machine, and you say, oh, I could have just left JJ in Minnesota? At the end of the day, you're still going to run into JJ, and JJ, if he's traded for, is going to a conglomerate, bro. No bad teams trading for JJ. The team trading for JJ is going to win a Super Bowl. So it'd be probably.
Do you think Buffalo could?
They definitely could. Will they? Probably not. But
probably not.
But could they? I mean, anything can happen. I think the only shot now Ron could say Pittsburgh, but the only place I think that is a potential JJ landing spot would be Arizona. But at the end of the day, you'd have to be a moron to swap out a free, almost rookie contract, Marvin Harrison Jr., who could be the next JJ, for JJ, who's going to cost you $150 million. But have we 100%. Seen teams? Have we seen teams do things like this? Absolutely. We're not in control of things; they are. And Arizona definitely. JJ JJ and Kyler would be unbelievable. The other team that I could see maybe trying to get their hands on JJ in a trade. It wouldn't be for four though. Like, could Indy try it? Could Pittsburgh try it? They've been hungry for a wide receiver. I just don't think it would be where you'd want him to go. I like it, but
what about Chargers?
They're not interested in that. They did alphabetical order locker rooms, bro. They're not taking a wide receiver at five. They're taking offensive linemen. Like, this is their assigned seating. They don't care about a player. They don't want one player. They want a bunch of guys that they want to take the jersey names probably off the back of the jersey. I'm telling you, Harbaugh's not surrounding this team with any big name players right now. It's crazy. The only thing Harbaugh could do
from the foundation up.
Yeah, and it could work, but I'm just saying it from fantasy. Like, everyone gets so mad at me. They're like, you watch, Harbaugh's going to succeed. I'm not saying he won't. I'm just saying it's not going to be exciting, and it's not what we think it's going to be. It's going to be a bunch of no-name people trying to come together. This is like going to look like a high school team that is going to, you know, it's going to be like the, it's going to be like the, what movie am I thinking of? I don't know. Like the hockey, Miracle. It's a good movie.
Miracle, yeah.
Good movie. That's what the team's going to, you know, he's going to build something like that. It's going to be, you know, his guys, you know, the great ones that are supposed to be a lock to come in, neighbors. I want this guy instead. What's his name? I want this no-name guy instead of neighbors. This guy will listen to me. I don't know. But anyways, anything can happen. Even that, anything can happen. Neighbors could go 5. Or the Chargers trade 5 for 11 and 23, and they get a Dunze at 11, and then they get an offensive lineman at 23. That could work, too, and that would be a pretty damn good move if the Chargers pulled that off. But, you know, I at the end of the day, I'm going to say the most likely landing spots from teams that have a dire need for wide receiver, well, really, it's just Buffalo. And then the next likely spot would be Cincinnati, just because of the Joe Burrow ties, and I could see Cincy. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the Bengals would win. They would win a Super Bowl.
Fantasy owners who hold JJ or Chase, but if for real life football, that would be incredible.
Yeah, I don't know how it would look from fantasy. I think we'd have to really tackle that, you know, from a new lens and say, like, slap ourselves a couple times across the face. I need someone to come in and just pour a bucket of water on me so I could start over and be like, okay, JJ, new perspective. Because I wouldn't know how to even attack it. I think Indy would be interesting, but then again, it's like, you know, Arafat runs a lot. What happens if he goes down? I don't know. Las Vegas would be crazy to replace Adams eventually, right? You know, or obviously he'd be better than Adams the moment he arrived, but I just mean, like, that's like your objective. But then who's your quarterback? You know, and I don't think anybody, yeah. I don't think Minnesota's trading JJ unless they're getting a top 10 pick here anyway. The only thing they could maybe do is, and again, this would be stupidity, but I could see it happening because stupidity happens all the time in the NFL. Like, could we see T. Higgins, the 18 and a future first rounder, go to the Vikings, and then all of a sudden they have Higgins, and when you trade for Higgins franchise tag, you're signing him to a long-term deal, and they give him some kind of like Ridley or Devontae Smith deal, and we're like, why would you do that and not just pay a little more for Justin Jefferson? You know when you're in an auction draft and you're sitting there and it's like, or let's say it's Breece Hall, $65, going once, going twice, you're like, sold. You're like, damn it, I should have bid 66, and then you end up buying Joe Mixon for 55 because you're out there, there's no running backs left, and you're like, why didn't I just spend another $11 and instead of Mixon, I'd have Breece Hall. Like, this is what's gonna happen if the Minnesota Vikings trade JJ. I know they get a lot of picks too, but then lock down Higgins to a long-term deal. I can see it now. It shouldn't happen, but I could envision it happening. it'd be wild. But JJ, there's not a lot of landing spots, Mr. G. There are not a lot of landing spots. This is hard to fathom. And the St. Brown deal, and if you said you didn't know what I thought about St. Brown, or go watch the St. Brown show. I got a breaking news.
Brown. I watched it. I just popped onto the Tonight Show.
Okay.
Just now,
so. Yeah. So St. Brown changed a lot. In some ways, St. Brown's deal makes it kind of more likely that the Niners and Ayuk will not find a middle ground on the contract. They're further apart than they've ever been. Flip the coin on the other side of the coin, though. It's a double-edged sword in a way. Now the likelihood of a trade is almost harder to imagine, because now a team, if they're going to trade for Ayuk, they've got to pay him more because the expectation's now higher. So it's like maybe teams that were willing to trade for Ayuk were barely willing to pay him what he wanted, Like, okay, San Francisco won't pay him, we will. Now, if the price has gone up, we might just see Ayuk play on his fifth-year option more than him getting traded. So it's tough to know how that's going to go. JJ to the Saints. Right. Oh, God, John, why? Why, John? Why would that happen?
Yeah, don't ruin Olave like that.
Not to mention, who's throwing him? I mean, Derek Carr's not going to stay healthy. I was excited about Carr for a minute, I'll admit. Just wondering what would happen, but, like, he was so bad last year. Oh, thank you. No, thank you. John, before...
All right, I gotta go.
All right, Mr. G, we'll
see
you later.
I'll see you tomorrow night, though.
All right. Ron Navy, give me a nightmare situation tomorrow for day one. And let me give you an example. We already used Neighbors or Adunze or Marvin Harrison Jr. going to New York. That's already been used. Can't use that. Give me a nightmare scenario. Example would be London gets Adunze. That's, even though we love that in a way, right? For Atlanta and everything, it's a nightmare scenario for at least one side of that. Bowers to Chicago, that kills Komet. That's a small one, but I'm just trying to give you an example. So give me something that you think could be nightmare-like for some fantasy football asset somewhere. And try and think of a pretty decent-sized one. Could be a running back, but no running back's going to go tomorrow. That could be Friday question. I'm sorry. Friday question. So for day one, Thursday. Chat, chime in if you want to play this game too. I'd love to know what the chat thinks. And Ron, you might be on mute.
Oh, yeah, I was.
You're on mute, brah.
I think. Give me a minute.
You're chowing down on some steak, I know it. The steak's in.
No, chicken tender.
Okay, chicken tender. God, you're making me hungry.
Damn it, Ron.
I might have to go in and out now. Okay, so okay, you can't use New York Giants as a wide receiver landing spot. That's already a nightmare I've mapped out. You can't use Atlanta for a London nightmare. Even though we love Adunze there, it helps Cousins. It's obviously great for some angles. Michael Pittman takes a huge hit. I'm sorry, I'm taking away all the options. Michael Pittman takes a huge hit if a wide receiver lands in Indy. Give me something. We got a couple in the chat. Bowers to Atlanta, definitely one of them. Mr. G, it's a good one. That means, you know, Kyle Pitts would take a hit, and they're certainly considering it. Like it's in the thought process.
What about something like a Adunze to Minnesota?
That would be wild. I don't think they'd even consider that. But yeah, that would be a nut sack kick like no other. It also would trigger. Whoa, JJ's gonna get traded in a few minutes. You know what I mean? If they drafted a Adunze.
Yep.
They're trading JJ. That would be my thought. Tennessee takes a QB.
Yep.
Not out of the realm of possibility. Probably not going to happen. But not out of the realm of possibility. They seem to really like Levis, and I don't think they do that to his growth and potential. Denver could. What if Denver took like a wide receiver? Like, let's say Adunze slipped, and they took him, and they didn't have a quarterback. That would suck.
What if Seattle takes one of these receivers too, and they already got JS up there? And
yeah, that would be a nightmare. But I don't think that happened. What about Pittsburgh takes Penix Jr.? Oh. it'd be like, what in the hell, man? Ah. What are we doing? What are we doing? Musical chairs at QB. I guess we could say Green Bay taking a wide receiver kicks Jaden Reed in the nuts.
And Wicks.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian Watson. All three of them.
Buffalo trading up for Bowers would be a definitely a nut sack kick. No, but they won't do that. Detroit, a wide receiver to Detroit is definitely a good one, because that's been talked about on a number of occasions by, you know, different sources, but nothing, you know, validated by Detroit. But you know, J-Mo's, I think, a good option this year, but that would hurt J-Mo bad, and it also kind of hurt St. Brown and Laporte a little bit to get like a big name wide receiver. Zay Flowers gets injured a little bit, fantasy football wise. If let's say a wide receiver lands in Baltimore like Ladd McConkey, Hollywood and Rice both are gonna take a hit when they take Ladd McConkey. Boom, KC Ladd McConkey do it live.
What if Aaron Zerlin takes a quarterback instead of a wide receiver?
I'll faint on the live stream.
You'll pull your phone.
And then when you wake me up, you go, Dunze went to Buffalo. Smitty, wake up. Really? Yes. That would wake me. That would revive me. I should do a skit on that where it's like the Cardinals select, you know, McCarthy, and I just pass out, and I'm just sitting there, and everyone's trying to revive me, and you have Buffalo Bill paddles, and you're like, it took a Tuesday, get him back up. Are we getting our song right now, Tebow? You're live right now. Are you gonna lay it down? Should I mute all the music?
I'm definitely going to do it, but not tonight. I need to work on the vocal cords a little bit.
Oh, no, we like it. We like it not worked on. We want the vocal cords not to be ready. That's the preferable method.
Okay. But soon, we'll drop the chain there. But here's my nightmare scenario. Harrison is drafted by the Patriots.
Yeah, that is a sack kick right there. That might be a double kick. That might be one of those kicks that hits both of them at the same time. Both sides.
Yeah, that would be bad. Nobody throwing to him. Ugh.
Yeah.
New England already set up because they could have had Fields and then went ahead and picked freaking Marvin Harrison. They could have had them both, and they screwed that up.
The Giants are a problem. The Giants are like when you're sitting at a blackjack table in Vegas and you're sitting, and right in front of you is a person that doesn't know when to hit or when to, you know, they're sitting there and you're like,
I doubled down right now, right?
Yeah, stay where you're at, bro. Stay where you're at. And they're like, hit me. And they screw the whole deck up. That's what's happening with New York. New York is just in the way. They're just in the way. They're going to screw something up. They're going to mess it up. The whole flow of every mock draft's going to be wrong from here until kingdom come. The Chargers as well. They're like that.
I also think Tennessee. I think near Giants and Tennessee are the two teams that can really throw this whole draft out of whack.
Yeah, the Giants and the Chargers definitely could throw this whole thing out of whack.
You're right about that blackjack scenario. The person that plays the last seat needs to know what the heck they're doing because they can win or lose the whole table.
Hoosier says, do y'all catch that? I just said something awesome. Look, Smitty had when he threw out Ladd McConkey to KC. I don't know what you're talking about, Hoosiers. You have to retype that. I don't know what that means.
I got something.
Although I think McConkey, you know, Hall would be dangerous.
What, Ron?
Do you think Hall had promise last year and he got injured early? Do you think Hall becomes relevant this year?
You know, that's true. I don't. Why does everybody always talk about Darnold? Yeah, I mean, you never hear about it. Is he like not on the team anymore? Like Jaren Hall, right?
Yeah.
Vikings depth chart. Believe it, I don't know everything. Did someone just toot? What was that?
No, that wasn't me.
So they have Jaren Hall listed third. Tell the other Rhonda to keep it quiet. What's he doing? Letting him rip like that. Jaron.
He went to bed.
Oh. Well, you can do that in your sleep. Jaron Hall is the third listed quarterback. He's behind Nick Mullins. They clearly don't like him on the Minnesota Vikings website. I guess they don't care.
We know those depth charts are messed up right now anyway. They change when the season starts.
It's a good point, though, Ron. I mean, no one ever talks about it. Like, Hall's better than Darnold. I mean, according to San Francisco beat writers, you know, Darnold is the second coming of Jimmy Garoppolo. But Darnold's trash. I never liked Darnold. I couldn't believe when people were ranking him. This guy, the way people acted about Darnold is the way I feel like people are acting about Caleb. You know, like Darnold, I could just see he was not an elite quarterback on any level. Caleb's got elite skills. Darnold didn't. But it's similar feel in terms of like, it feels like a train wreck about to happen, and everyone's like getting on tickets to this train. I'm like, don't do it. They just get it. People are filing on. Darnold looked like trash. In my own, to everybody else's defense, and to tear me down a little bit, a little self-deprecation. I'm not saying I land everything. I'm very good at quarterback breakout. I like to think I'm good at a lot of breakouts on every position, but I'm very good at identifying breakout quarterbacks. And sometimes, you know, I miss, and sometimes the situation misses. I really like Trey Lance. I very much thought Bryce Young would look a lot better than he did, and T Law. But I also love Jordan Love. I also called Patrick Mahomes before he was even starting atop 1-5 quarterback, Josh Allen, before he started a game 1-5. So like, I've hit things, but I've also missed. I'm trying to, you know, take stabs at myself and say, you know, I'm not perfect on predicting things. But Sam Darnold was like, he was screaming, avoid this kid. Avoid him. He's not even close to, he reminded me of that guy that was popular in high school, but, you know, when college came, he didn't know where to go. He didn't know what to do. He did not look the part. It looked like he was going to be out of the league in like 2 years. What?
He had his chance on the Jets. He couldn't get it done. Then he had a chance to beat out Baker down in Carolina. He couldn't get that done. And then he goes over to San Francisco. And then it's just a mess. Yeah, he's trash.
Yeah. And I'll submit to, I fell victim to the Lance. And I still think Fields could be really good. But Lance, Fields, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence draft class. Like, that looked like it was going to be a pretty good draft class. And it just kind of unraveled. But I kind of blame it on all the coaches. You had Urban Meyer pretty much stunt the growth of T. Law. And then I just think he's just kind of never got on track, even though he's not horrible. Like, T. Law, to be honest with you, I mean, let's go around the phone line real quick. Let me go to Tebow. Tebow, if you put T. Law on the Niners, is he playing as good as Brock Purdy?
You know, I would actually say I think he's probably playing better than Ben Purdy if you put him in the Niner system.
I think that it's very easy to assume that, you know, like T-Law is garbage. But T-Law has shown promise at times. I think he's not in the right – I don't want to say he's in the wrong system necessarily, but I don't feel like he's comfortable in his own skin in Jacksonville. I think he's had two very – well, definitely one horrible coach in Urban that just reset this guy. Like, he wasted rookie year. So he's been kind of like, you know, brought up badly, you know. And then right now I feel like, you know, he's had moments like that playoff comeback. Remember the IHOP, you know, the IHOP video the day after or the night or the morning of really coming up. I just think that, like, you put T-Law in San Fran and he's a gem. I think he's a surgeon.
Oh, absolutely.
But you put Brock Purdy in the Jacksonville Jaguar uniform, he's going to look like a pumpkin. Ron, do you agree with the comment or no? Do you think Brock Purdy, maybe I'm a little harsh on him looking like a pumpkin, but I just mean I mean, he was the last pick in the draft. Like, you know, there was a lot of reason to doubt him, and there's, I think, reason to assume that if he wasn't in an amazing system, he might not have ever climbed up, even if everybody misjudged him a little bit. Like, and he was supposed to be in the NFL as a backup or whatever. He was overlooked kind of for a reason, and he was very talented. Every player in the NFL is talented. Even Sam Darnold is, you know, talented to a degree, right? But, like, I don't know. I think we saw Jimmy G play way better than he was. Go ahead.
Brady was overlooked. I don't mind Purdy. I think Purdy plays pretty good, and I think he could go to another team and
I didn't answer my question.
And play very well. He's a smart guy. But I think T-Law, he was playing injured a lot last year. And I think this year, if he stays healthy, I think we'll see a better version of T-Law. Because Doug Peterson knows how to develop quarterbacks. And granted, he's only been there 2 years. So I think this third year, T-Law will do what we thought he was going to do last year. And that happens a lot, where you bet on a player 1 year and he just lets you down, he gets injured or whatever, then the year after he has his breakout. I think that could happen with T-Law.
Yeah, I don't know. Rockout, what do you think? Rockout, appreciate you being on the line, by the way. Do you think that T-Law outperforms Brock Purdy in San Francisco if you were to plug and play the two?
Yeah, I believe so. He would do better. But how about Herbert?
Yeah, Herbert would blow him out of the water. I really like Herbert. I just think he's wasted. Would it surprise you guys if I told you that Trevor Lawrence was QB13 last year, even despite all of his very erratic play? Pretty
no,
high.
Really. No.
I mean,
because I had him on my team for half the year.
You had a lot of erratic play from a lot of quarterbacks here.
I mean, look at this right here. Look at this right here. QB8 in week 1, and then he went on just a bender of bad. 32, 19, 16, 16. Then he was 11. Then he was 10. It was a respectable but not amazing. And then 17, then bye week, then 31. But then, you know, QB1 in week 11, QB6 in week 12, QB5 in week 13, QB11 in week 14. That's 4 straight games in a row. Then 21, 26, didn't play quarterback 12. Kind of shocking he's number 13.
Pull up Mahomes. That line, you'd be surprised at that.
No, it's bad.
Because
it's bad.
They struggled a lot last year.
No, Mahomes is bad, and that's why you're getting him cheap, though. That, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. He was still QB8, surprisingly.
That's what I'm trying to say is a lot of quarterbacks they struggled last year through certain parts of the year, so it was kind of a mixed bag last year with quarterbacks. You had very few that were consistent and stayed consistent all the way through.
The thing about Mahomes, too, though, that you got to factor in, and it's hard to factor it in because you're looking at – this is why data Donnies don't always have the answer, because they're using statistical information from the season when in the playoffs things might have got fixed. And Mahomes definitely looked like a different quarterback in the playoffs, and he finished on a high note. And so I think using this data, this is what I love, that everybody's using it. But he's QB7, then 11, then 5, then 17, then 11, then 7, then 1. And then he kind of had this stretch, like down the stretch, it was just brutal. It was 30, 12, bye week, 15, 8, 16, 20, 14, 16, 25, didn't play. That was bad. Like, I think if he stayed on this...
won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think if he stayed on this course from weeks 1 through the bye week, my guesstimation is that would put him at like QB6, 7, maybe 7. Just looking at the numbers, spitballing, he'd be about 7, maybe 6, 6.5, 7, QB7. So it would have been a horrible year. He finished QB8. But, you know, maybe I would say 6, because he had all of this and he still finished 8. I would say QB6, 5 to 6, if he had done this stretch also over here, 5 to 6. I love him this year. I think that there's very little chance coming off a Super Bowl, trying to win a third one in a row, fixing things, getting Hollywood Brown. I think Kelsey's even a little bit more in tune, because I think he was a little off because he was in this new relationship. The only thing that concerns me is if they break up in the middle of the year or something, he's going to be all messed up. But I believe that Kelsey's a little bit, I think he's going to come into his own, like, I think he's going to come into the season more focused, and he's not going to be in La La Land. He'll be more normalized with the relationship, and I think that really distracted from him. And he's getting older, but he looks like he's training hard right now. I like that, and I think maybe because he's a tight end and he doesn't necessarily use some of the speed that you need to, we saw Gronk, you know, just you kind of roam around. You're a big body. You're a big force. You're grabbing contested catches, and you can lose a step and still win with intelligence at the tight end position. And same goes for wide receivers to a degree. Running back, you're done. You're toast. You lose a step, you're done. You're a trash can. But tight ends can kind of get by, so I kind of feel like Mahomes has to have a better year. I love him. He's the second best value in fantasy 2024. But this is a Dynasty channel, so we're going to talk about Dynasty. But let me go back over to Rock Out. Rock Out, do you have anything else you want to add? I'm going to kind of wrap it up. I got a long day ahead of me tomorrow, so I want to make sure I get some rest. We got 70 on Twitter. We got 40 on the YouTube channel. If the Twitter folks would get over to the youtube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball, which is my Dynasty channel that we're on right now, subscribe to the channel so you never miss a show. And if anybody's in here, hit the thumb up button. Rock Out, any predictions, any final thoughts, any draft day predictions for the wide receivers specifically?
Not really sure, but I got a random thought. Do you know why JJ was the number 22 pick in 2020?
Because the Eagles shotted the bed, and they took what's his name?
Rager.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, Jalen Rager. They took Jalen Rager. I never forget that video where the Vikings were. They showed the Vikings war room, and they're like, "In the pick is Jalen Rager." And the Vikings were like, "What? We just got JJ." They were like laughing. They were like getting each other in headlocks. What were you gonna say? What was your answer?
Is that what?
What were you gonna say? What was your answer? Why did they get him? What were you gonna say? You asked me a question.
That's just hard to believe.
Was that the answer, or were you gonna tell me something different?
No.
I'm confused, Rock Out.
I was just trying to figure out how to get that far.
But what I'm asking you is that why you're asking me it, the question?
Yeah.
Okay. It seemed like you didn't finish the story. I didn't know if I got the answer, if that was what you're looking for, or if you were just sidetracked and didn't finish asking the question. Yeah, Rager. Jalen Rager, what a draft selection. Okay, Rock Out, final prediction. Where's Marvin Harrison Jr. going?
I think the Cardinals.
Attaboy. Appreciate you, Rock Out. We'll see you tomorrow. Tebow, where is Malik Nabers going?
For my fantasy life, I'm hoping he falls to the Chargers, but I doubt that, unfortunately.
You got to pick. You got to pick, bro. Where is he going?
Chargers.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow, pal. I'll be live on and off all day on the main channel, and then we'll go live an hour before the draft and stay live the entire draft and play-by-play. All right, bro?
Right on, man. Looking forward to it.
All right. Ron Navy, where does Rome Odunze go? You've got Arizona off the board. The Chargers have Neighbors. Where's Rome going?
uh,
Atlanta.
All top eight. Atlanta, there you go. There you go. I'm going to say something bold here. I'm going to say Neighbors goes to the Giants. Marvin Harrison, so Neighbors to the Giants, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals, and Roma Dunze to either the Colts or the Buffalo Bills. And then we're doing it live. All right, Ron.
Interesting.
Enjoy your chicken tenders.
Where do you think? I'm already been done with that, but where do you think Thomas goes?
Thomas Jr. goes to Jacksonville.
You think he goes 17?
I don't know. I had to throw something out there. Jacksonville. You know, no, you know what? I was gonna say Cincinnati, Jacksonville or Cincinnati, and then that triggers maybe a T. Higgins trade, or they're just preparing.
Okay. Well, we know the real reason why you got to wrap things up. You're hungry and you want to go eat.
Partly. Partly. I blame you again.
I know.
I didn't go to In-N-Out that one day that I said I was gonna, and you're like, don't do it. And I got off the show and I got my wallet, I got my keys, I had to do a couple things. I ended up having to clean up something, and then by the time I looked at the clock, I was like, holy crap. Maybe I'll just make some eggs and bacon or something light. Fun.
If you go to In-N-Out, then you got to live on Instagram.
Yeah, but In-N-Out's so good. Just getting a Flying Dutchman burger. All right, hey, call in tomorrow, Ron. We'll be live.
What time you going live?
So I'll be on and off throughout the day, morning, day, depending on news. And then I imagine I'll be live at least twice before the big show, and then an hour before the NFL draft starts, which will be 7 p.m. Eastern instead of 8 p.m. Eastern for the show. We'll start at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that'll be an hour before. And I might even start a little earlier, and then we just go straight into the draft, and we'll be live for hours and hours. And we get meatloaf, hopefully.
I want to see if you phone or not.
Yeah, the Cardinals. You know what? I'll still break the phone if the Cardinals don't get one of the big three receivers. But I'm hoping that I'm breaking it with a smile, because at least the Buffalo Bills got a Dunze or something. I'll still be very pleased if they get Ladd McConkey or Leggett. I'll still be very pleased. But I would love for a Dunze's top maybe three or four wide receiver material in Buffalo. He's going to be so good. I could see myself if MHJ went to the...
Yeah, but I don't think Buffalo has the clout to move up high enough to get one of those. I think the highest wide receiver Buffalo has the clout to get would be JT Thomas.
Well, why do people say that?
People say that a lot.
Let's look at their draft picks. 2025. They have a round one pick. They have a round two pick. They have a round three, round four, round five. They got all their picks next year.
Because Pittsburgh also needs a wide receiver, and they're already ahead of them.
No, but Ron, you're not getting it. You're not getting a Dunze at 28. Like, you're trading.
No, I understand that, but Pittsburgh has more clout than them to go up to get one of those wide receivers. I think Buffalo ends up with Thomas.
Well, but
you
might be right, but I'm saying, does Pittsburgh for sure trade up for a receiver? I mean, that's not a guarantee they would. I think Buffalo offering a future first rounder.
It's just speculation, Smitty.
No. I know.
That might not happen.
No, I know. I'm not arguing that Pittsburgh couldn't outplay them. I'm just saying that a lot of people say Buffalo doesn't have the capital to make the move. That's what I'm questioning. I don't understand why people say that. They could give a 2025 first rounder. They could give a 2025 second rounder. They could give multiple picks and, you know, multiple second rounders. Like everyone says, they can't move up. They don't have the draft capital to move up. I just don't understand when people say that. They could trade everything if they wanted.
Kansas City has shown in the past, and that's the team you got to watch out for, because when they drafted Mahomes, they jumped above the Steelers, who wanted Mahomes to begin with. Watch out for Kansas City tomorrow to make a big move to get one of these receivers over Buffalo, over
Pittsburgh, maybe.
Over all these teams.
Maybe. I think
Kansas City, watch them.
My prediction stands, though. Indy or Buffalo gets the most aggressive for the wide receiver move-up move. It may be... Pittsburgh's in there. Pittsburgh's in the mix because they – I don't even think Pittsburgh is the best candidate for – I think they have a need for a wide receiver, but, like, you have Pickens. Like, but I think Buffalo and Indy are hungry for it. Buffalo's got the most to gain. Buffalo's window – Buffalo's the one team over here that has the biggest weakness right now in a very important position. And, you know, Detroit doesn't have a weakness. KC kind of, you know, they have a vulnerability, but they still have Kelsey. They still have Hollywood. San Fran has Ayuk until they trade him. If they trade him, they're going to get a pick and whatever. Baltimore's got Flowers and Andrews. They're you know, that's good. Detroit's got, obviously, amazing weapons. The only team in Arizona doesn't belong here. This is Houston's pick. And so Houston, if we look at Houston, Houston's got... amazing talent. Obviously, Tampa Bay's got wide receivers. Green Bay's capable, but the only team here that sticks out like a sore thumb, that just emptied their wide receiver room, that is the most hungry for a top five wide receiver. And if you remember what Buffalo said, you know, from GM to owner to other people in the organization, like, don't judge us right now. We still have the NFL draft to go. And anybody assuming they're just sitting on their hands, they're
not the only one. Diggs, yes, their number one receiver, but he didn't play very well last year. And the same thing, Pittsburgh got rid of their number one wide receiver, which, you know, I don't like, but it still was their number one wide receiver. So they still need, because Pickens isn't ready to be a number one wide receiver. And then you got, Hollywood at Kansas City, but we haven't seen him with Mahomes, and he's kind of one-dimensional. Hollywood is. He's got a lot of speed, but he's not physical. And I could see Kansas City jumping up.
For sure.
They need somebody because Hollywood's not a lock with Mahomes.
I don't disagree with you at all. I love the idea of KC moving up. My only thing was everyone says all the time Buffalo can't trade up and get Adunze. Whenever I mention it, there's always four or five comments in the chat. I'm like, why are people saying this? They absolutely can't. Not to mention, it's neighbors and MHJ that are more likely to go in the top 10. The one wide receiver of the three capable of slipping, you know, like even to like 14, 13, 15 possible would be Adunze. I don't think he falls that far, but I'm just saying it's possible. Brian Thomas Jr., very capable of slipping into the 17 to 24 range. So Buffalo would only have to give up like a second to make a move and go get their guy. And I love that. I could see Brian Thomas Jr. in Buffalo. Really, really could. But Leggett, McConkey, if you stay put, is fine by me. I'm just saying my prediction is Indy or Buffalo gets super aggressive and Adunze goes to one of these two spots. That's my bold take. And again, I don't hate your take. KC's definitely capable of leap.
I'm just bringing in other scenarios, and I know KC from the past.
For sure.
I mean, they've screwed Pittsburgh over so many times in the draft that I wouldn't be surprised if KC does something that we weren't expecting tomorrow.
You know what? I don't know that I'd even coin it as that unexpected. I think what you're saying is definitely possible. I don't think it's unexpected at all. I just saying Buffalo also is all I'm saying. But, yeah, definitely capable of it.
I know.
No doubt about it. Ron dropping the $50 wad. Appreciate it, Ron. John dropped a $2 hauler earlier. John dropped another one. A team drafts a kicker in the first round? No. John, thank you. Sorry, I just saw that, John. You just dropped that a while ago, and I didn't see it. And I see you dropped another one right now. John said $5 hauler. AFC champ and Super Bowl should be called the KFC Invitational until further notice. Hate to say it. They do everything well. They will move up for a wide receiver. Definitely think that there's definitely a world where both Buffalo and KC move up. And it would be crazy if KC leapfrogged them after they made their move. That would be insane. But I think Buffalo is going to make the move, as could KC, on the clock. Because you don't want to miscalculate where you're going in for Odunze. You got to call while he's on the board. So odds are the person that leapfrogs the other will steal the trade from him. I'm trying to think of other teams. I think Buffalo and KC, I do agree, Buffalo and KC are the most likely teams to trade 32 and 28 to move up for a wide receiver. Jacksonville, I don't know. They seem like they want one, but Cincy, not unless they get rid of Higgins in a trade that gets them up there. Pittsburgh, maybe. I think Pittsburgh's definitely in the conversation. Green Bay is going to be interesting, because Green Bay was not on any of our radars to land Jacobs. We didn't even think of it. And look what they did, you know, getting that talent, young, you know, running back that could help and support Jordan Love. Wouldn't be all that surprising in hindsight to look back and go, yeah, Green Bay moving from 25 to 15 to get Roman Dunn. Say, what in the hell were we? Why did we think and talk about that? Certainly possible.
Green Bay, that though. Remember when they needed wide receivers, or when Aaron Rodgers was still there? He's like, give me a wide receiver, and they didn't pull the trigger. They didn't do. They haven't done that in their whole history.
How pissed would A-Rod be? I saw a mock draft by, I forget who it was. I want to say it was like ESPN posting it, but it was someone else's mock draft where the Jets got Rome Odunze. And I don't think that's going to happen, but like, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But that would be a nightmare for Garrett Wilson.
I think the Jets get Bowers.
Yeah, that's probably the more likely scenario for sure. That's probably Vegas odds for the Jets pick is Bowers, I think. Like, Bowers is... Jets are a match made in heaven. Get Aaron Rodgers, a tight end, paired with Garrett Wilson. You got Mike Williams, who I don't love, but they like him. And when he's healthy, he'll be a threat. And then you got Breece Hall, and one of the best defenses in the league that is probably way better than people remember, because they were always on the field because of Zach Wilson. It was horrible. Denver fans, what do you do if you've got a Denver Russell Wilson jersey? Do you just wear the jersey to the game and supporting, you know, Zach Wilson? It's probably going to be a different number, right? Zach is 2 and Russell's 3. Zach Wilson would be doing everyone a favor if he just changed his number to 3. And then, like, what do? You just keep the jersey. You would never know that it was a Russell Wilson jersey, right?
Right.
If I was Zach Wilson and I wanted to get on the good side of the fan base, I'd change my number to 3.
Yeah. Sorry, my chair is squeaking. That's the squeaking. That's the noise you're hearing.
Sure.
Moving around the chair.
Sure. Yeah. It's the chicken. Blame it on the chicken nuggets in the chair.
No, it's the scooter chair.
All right, I gotta go. Ron, appreciate your 50 wad drop, and appreciate you.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. Later, chat.
All right, Ron Navy, everyone. Ron Navy. We'll be live the entirety of the day on and off, and then, of course, during the draft, nonstop live. But we'll be popping in and out of the channel. Probably not on the Dynasty channel. I might do one video on the Dynasty channel just to get some activity, but probably going to be on the main channel here, the Fantasy Football Show. This is the Dynasty one. Anyway. See you all later. Appreciate you. Those of you on Twitter, make sure you're click the link in my Twitter bio to subscribe to my YouTube main channel. Because this is not it. And I want you to make I want to make sure you're there with me tomorrow. On and off all day and then live during the entire draft. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you, Super Chatters. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, John. John to the moon. Ron to the moon.
Lift off of mission
3, 2, 1, 0.
But the continuum of the gigawatt component structure of Jahmyr Gibbs's workload divide has a megawatt offload that if you compartmentalize the component conjunction timekeeper and you flux capacitor out the continuum component megabolt, things just end up happening. And that's why Jahmyr Gibbs is a top 5 to 10 running back instead of top 6 to 10. See you all tomorrow. Happy draft day as we've crossed over midnight across the entire United States. Dew says,
get braced.